What's going on? Craig from Escape the Fate here, and you're watching CMS TV.
Chris Aiken Presents, and I, of course, am Chris Aiken, and today on the show, we are going to talk to a band that has really been killing it for a good while now. I hate to say it, but they're turning into an old band. You know, I remember when they were a baby band, and now they're an old band. They have an album that's out that's getting ready to be re-released as a deluxe edition, and they're going on one of the cooler tours of the entire summer, which I'm sure we will talk about as well. The band has Escape the Fate. The deluxe album's coming out is Out of the Shadows, and jumping out of the shadows, it's the great Craig Mabbitt. Craig, how are you,
man? What up? I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. What an intro.
I try to be nice, man. I try to lure you guys in before I hit you with the hard stuff.
Hey, well, I appreciate it.
Well, dude, let's talk about something that's easy to appreciate. Out of the Shadows. It was great the first time. I'm assuming it's better the second time. Tell me a little bit about how the record is done for you guys, and tell me how you gauge a record these days. I mean, you guys are old enough to remember the old days where there was a number, and if you hit that number, that was important. But now, I don't know what it is, if it's streams or if it's tickets or if it's shirts or what. What is it that tells you?
You know what, man? You'd think the longer you were in the business, the more you would understand it, and it's actually the less I understand. The more that time goes on, the less I understand what it means. But you know, we look at it through crowd interaction. When we go out on tour, we play some of these songs live. And if we see them, you know, lighten up and getting energized and singing along to those new songs, then we're like, okay, this is connecting. This is awesome.
Very cool. Well, what goes into the decision to make a deluxe edition? Is it songs that you had left over, songs that you wanted to put on, or songs that fans have been telling you they want to hear, maybe in a live format or something? What goes into that decision?
Well, sometimes there is a couple songs that were left over, and that could either mean you're intentionally saving that for a future deluxe edition, or there's a reason it was left over and you want to just leave it as a leftover. But this time we went in with the intent to do a deluxe. So we went back in the studio to see what we could come up with. And it ended up turning into an entire new record. So instead of it being a normal Out of the Shadows deluxe edition with two or three extra tracks, it's coming with about 10. And I decided to call it Out of the Shadows 2.0.
Okay.
Sort of like it's some extra video game DLC that you can get added onto the original album. So I'm pumped about it.
Hell yeah. Have you gotten any feedback from anybody yet that's heard it, as far as, you know, digging the tracks that they hadn't heard yet or anything like that?
Oh yeah. You know, management hears it and the people on your team hear it. You know, you get excited if they like it, but you're always questioning, you know,
sure.
are they being biased, you know? Right.
Will they really tell me no?
This is great, guys. But yeah, I showed it with a couple close friends, you know, my wife. I let my kids hear it to get their opinions. You know, my daughter's going to be 18 this year. So I ask her, I'm like, what do you think about this? Well, I think it's pretty good, Dad. And she's always very honest with me, so.
That's cool. Dude, you're not allowed to have an 18-year-old kid. You're supposed to be the young band. You're not supposed to be the old guys anymore, man.
I know. Tell me about it.
Well, dude, talk a little bit about that, man, about being, you know, when you guys came up, when you guys first came up, you guys were kind of that wave of, I don't want to call it emo core because that's kind of lame, but, you know, you guys were like one of those bands, and there were a lot of other bands that came around the same time. Black Veil Brides, Modern Day Escape, you know, if we're going to name bands that didn't make it as well as did. You know, there was a lot of them at the time. What do you attribute the success of your band to be able to maintain and continue to grow? Because I still think your band is still growing. I don't think you guys have plateaued at all.
Oh, I think the same thing, which is kind of a double-edged sword, you know. I'm like, that's good. But then you take a step back. You're like, well, shit, man, how long is this going to take to grow it up there? Like,
right.
Come on. I don't know what I attribute it to. I would say just the drive and the passion. You know, it's no secret that this band has gone through multiple member changes, you know, way back to when I first got in the band, which is coming on almost 18 years ago. But, it's like any other relationship. You just got to find the people that have the same goals in mind and want to take over the world and get the band the biggest it can be and connect with fans with the music. And that's just what me and Robert have always had. And we feel like we got everybody around us wanting the same thing. So at the end of the day, it's been our passion since we were kids and we've always wanted to do this. So even when times are tough, you got to, at the end of the day, count your blessings and realize how lucky you are to even have the opportunity to, number one, have made it this far and to still be able to do it.
Sure. Well, you mentioned member changes. Obviously, it's been a couple years now, a few years, but Maddie joining the band on guitar is the most recent change. How has Maddie fit in? And not this is two questions. One, how has Maddie fit in? And then the second question, in general, when you change members, how does the creative process change, or does it change?
That's a really good question. So Maddie fit in pretty damn perfect, I would say. He's just like Eric. They were both fans of the band back from This War Is Ours, which was my first album. So they just get it from a different point of view. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes if you've been in the band for a while, you could kind of lose sight of it and you want to try all these other things. But these guys come in with a fresh take and, well, this is the ETF that I remember, and they just get it. And so it's a lot of fun to go in the studio with them, and so grateful for Maddie. And, you know, that was an unexpected member change, but it was a mutual one.
Sure.
Obviously the pandemic hit, and Thrasher, our last guitar player, was getting a lot of studio work with Travis Barker, and he's still in there working on a lot of stuff, and that's been his passion for years. So once things started opening back up and the band was able to play shows again, and he had to weigh, am I gonna give up these opportunities I have being in the studio and producing music to go back out on the road? That was when it was kind of a mutual, you know, we went our separate ways. So very grateful for Maddie, and he fits in perfect, so I'm excited to work with him more.
Right on, man. Well, Craig, with Out of the Shadows, you know, I would say it's, if anybody knows your band, it's not, it didn't surprise them when they heard it. You know, I mean, it, but at the same time, like any artist, there are a couple of creative twists and turns, and maybe they're slight, maybe they're, I would imagine they're probably a lot more defined to you than to me, you know, because you're obviously creating it. Where is the line for you, especially as one of the main creators, between keeping it true to the old sound and challenging yourself to create something better without pissing off the fan base that's already on board?
For sure. You know, in a world where a lot of artists are just releasing singles, if we have the opportunity where we're in the studio and we're releasing an album, I want to have fun. I want to go left field. I want to try new things. But we always try to make sure there's at least 2 to 3 tracks that are staying true.
Okay.
To what we know, what the fans know, what our passion is. You know, I'm obviously more of a fan of the heavier side of the group, so I always try to push some of that through there.
Sure. Right on, man. When you do that, though, do you think about the fans at all? Just in the creative mode, when you're writing or when you're in the studio, or do you really kind of say, I'm going to do my best work, like it or hate it?
Yeah, you know, we've had conversations like that every time we go in the studio. And you go back to, how did we feel when we were working on some of these, you know, you look at all the streaming numbers.
Right.
What songs are streaming the best for the band? All right, this is what's connecting the most with the fans. As far as streaming numbers go, sometimes there's songs that connect more with the fans at a live show, but yet online the song isn't streaming that well. So you got to like look at all aspects of it. But what headspace were we in when we were creating these songs? Are we going in, or are we going to try to recreate ourselves,
right,
or try to redo this one specific song? Or when we were working on that one specific song, were we just in here having fun and doing what we wanted to do? And that's what connected.
Right.
So, you know, you got to go in. It's like, don't try to copy yourself. Just go in, get in that same mindset. Realize you just enjoy making music. Do what you love. And if that's shining through the song, if it sounds like you're actually enjoying yourself, that's what's going to connect with people.
Right. How long, if ever, does it take you before you actually feel like a song is quote unquote done?
Oh, man, I never feel like it's done.
Dude, you and every other musician I know, every musician, same thing.
Still to this day, I'll listen to songs that are obviously released, mixed, mastered on a record, 10 years old. And I'm like, oh man, this harmony would have been rad if I put it there. I'm always thinking, oh, we should have added this or done this, right, or maybe repeated the breakdown at the end of the song and done it halftime. That would have been cool.
Right. Do you tweak it in the shows? Like to the new sound that you have in your head?
Yeah, if we can convince Robert to get his butt out of Vegas and come do some rehearsals.
Nice.
But yeah, we tweaked one of the newer songs. It's called Low, and we did a rehearsal. And we're like, you know what, man? We should extend this this build up to the breakdown part. Let's just keep it going live and interact, and then we'll hit it. And it's one of my favorite parts of the set.
Very cool, man. Well, dude, one thing that you did exactly alike from the last record was you worked with John Feldman again.
Yeah.
You know, he's fantastic. What does he bring to the table for you guys as a producer that you couldn't do yourself? Because you know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Feldman knows what he's doing, too.
Well, sure.
And he's got a bigger track record. So that's where my mind goes. I'm like, you know what? I like to feel like I know what I'm doing with my own band.
Right.
But how many hits do I have on the board? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's great. You know, the first time we worked with him was my first album with the group. And he was just like almost like a father figure to me at the time, and sixth member of the band, and really helping me find my place in the group. And the interesting story about that is he came to see Escape the Fate live when I was still in Bless the Fall. We were on a tour together, and I climbed up to the balcony at the Key Club in Hollywood, right, and jumped off. And he told me he left always remembering that I really liked him, me, the singer of that one band. I really liked the music style of that other group. And that was it. He thought that at the end of the show. Once he heard word that that singer had joined that band, he called management and said, get them to my studio right now.
Nice.
And that's how This War Is Ours came to be. You know, within the first month of me joining, we were in his studio working on that record. And now fast forward to today, he's my brother-in-law. Okay. So now he's family, and
right,
it's crazy how life works out.
So now you can never have a record that sounds bad because he's family, right?
Oh, yeah. I tell him all the time. I'm like, better make it sound good, man, or I'm going to be moving in.
Very funny, man. Well, dude, let's talk about what's coming up for you guys. You have the Emo Orchestra coming up, which is it's a very extensive tour for you guys. Like, it's
Oh, yeah.
A very long tour. before we talk in depth about it, tell me a little bit, tell everybody about the concept behind it and what they can expect if they come out to see you guys.
Well, expect something that you've never seen Escape the Fate do before, which is one of the main reasons why we accepted this tour.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be different. We're only playing about four Escape the Fate songs. The rest are covers.
Okay.
With a 15-person live orchestra. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited, pretty intimidated. All the feelings combined. You know, sure. You have people that have graduated Berkeley that are in this orchestra.
Okay.
So the musicianship is top-notch. So.
Right. Are they traveling with you, or is it guys from each city, or how does
no,
it work?
It's the whole tour travels together.
Oh wow!
So you're getting about I believe it's a 45-minute set, then an intermission, then another 45-minute set. We're playing some venues that we wouldn't normally play because it's more of a theater
sure.
setting. So it's exciting after touring for this many years to do something that's so for us a little out of the box and interesting and fun. But yeah, at the same time, it is quite an extensive tour. It's quite an extensive set list.
Okay.
With, for me being the vocalist, all these sure. different vocal styles and keys but I'm excited. I'm ready to take it on.
Absolutely, man. Well, the one question that comes to mind immediately is taking out on the road that many people in today's environment is pretty crazy because it's mm-hmm. so expensive to tour. I mean, I know a lot of big bands that are four-piece bands that are not going on tour because mm-hmm. they simply can't afford it. How did you guys work that all out, or is that all management stuff?
That's all. I try to stay out of it because if I try my best to be involved where I need to be involved. You know,
okay.
These are things that I absolutely need to know. But if I get too involved, I'm going to drive myself nuts because you
right.
will start to think it's like, what are we, why are we going out? Is this doable? You know?
Right. No, you're right, man. And especially if you start, I have a few friends that are on the TSO tour and they tell me some of the costs of, you know, now that's obviously the biggest tour pretty much in the world, but still when you start hearing 10,000 a week times 13 buses, and it's like, whoa,
why, like, you know, towards the beginning of our conversation, I said, you got to count your blessings at the end of the day and realize how grateful you are, because
sure.
just the cost of touring these days is outrageous.
Oh, yeah,
so
it is.
The fact that we're still able to do some tours is amazing. I'm very, very grateful.
Absolutely. But luckily you guys had enough history before to where, I mean, the costs are definitely going to kill you no matter what. They're just going to mm-hmm. kill everybody. But the other piece that a lot of bands, I doubt it affects you guys, but a lot of bands are feeling is the whole lack of venues now. So many venues closed during the pandemic. A lot of the venues that, you know, bands like yours probably played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we noticed that when we started getting back out there, you know, we would show up to a venue in a city and it's like, well, this is the place available in this area. And we'll walk in and we're like, where the hell are we? We're playing. What are we doing playing here? It's like,
right?
this was the room available. You guys wanted to play a show today. So I still remember, I can't remember the name of the place, but we walked in and our drum tech literally had to go up on this little balcony that they had, unscrewed the railings so that we could set the drums up on top of that.
Jeez.
Because there just wasn't adequate space.
Right.
And we were just, you know, let's get it done. Let's set the drums up here. Let's redo this. Let's unscrew that. And, you know, everybody that came to the show had a great time. It was very energetic punk rock. And even the venue was impressed. They're like, wow, you guys really changed the look of this place to make it work. And then you put it back together for us. We'd love to have you back.
That's awesome, man. Well, dude, I'm going to bring up one festival that I know you guys are playing, and I'm bringing it up in a negative way, but it's not supposed to be a negative. You guys are playing the When We Were Young festival, which is
yes.
a great festival. At the same time, that is a clear indicator that you guys are becoming a nostalgia band now.
I know.
You know,
I know.
How do you process that in your head?
It's pretty difficult to process. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think anybody wants to accept,
right?
You know, the years that are passing by. But at the same time, I look at it and I go, we're still releasing new material. We're still going on tour. People are still singing along to the new material. We're not, you know, pigeonholed to just going out and playing the classics.
Right.
We're still able to go out there and play this new stuff. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer that we're doing this amazing festival and we're not playing any new stuff because, you know, the whole thing about this specific When We Were Young is you're playing the classic album front to back.
Right.
But at the same time, it's great to be a part of it. It's very humbling to be a part of it. And it's like, let's go out there and celebrate it at this amazing festival in Vegas and then, you know, get back to it.
Are you looking forward to seeing anybody play or just looking forward to seeing people that you've kind of come up in the game with?
Oh, both.
Okay.
Both.
That's cool. Who are you looking forward to seeing?
Definitely going to go see Mike Chem and Fall Out Boy live. I've only caught maybe 5 minutes of a Fall Out Boy show when we were doing, I think it was Soundwave in Australia when Soundwave Fest was still a thing.
Right.
So I'd love to catch the full set.
Very cool, man. Well, dude, what do you like better, festivals or headlining shows?
That really depends, man. Depending on what time of the day you're playing the festival, is the crowd at the festival India? But they both have their pros and cons, I guess. But headline shows are great because you're in a venue, you get the light show, you get the production. But festivals are a great way to play in front of people that maybe have heard of your band name, but just haven't gone out to one of your headline shows.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, you know, I've heard of these guys. Let's go check them out at the festival. And, you know, it's your opportunity as an artist to kind of bring them into your world and
right.
And get them to come out to your headline show.
Right. See, that always, at least in my head, that's always, I would think the headline show would be because you're also playing to people that dig what you're doing.
Yeah,
so it's not people standing there, you know, sipping their beer and waiting for the band that they're waiting for. You know, you're the band they're waiting for.
Oh yeah. And I get that. I get that so much. I think we were in Sweden. We did a festival. This might've been 8 to 10 years ago now, but Iron Maiden was the headliners. And we were playing the same stage. We walked out. It was a lot of just beer drinking and literally chanting made in. The whole time we were playing.
Yeah, that's a comfortable hour of time, right?
Yeah. I'm like, they're coming like about 6 hours from now. We're up right now. Let's try to just, you know, enjoy the time we have.
Right on, man. Well, dude, there's obviously a lot of life left in Out of the Shadows, and certainly there's going to be more life as you reissue it. But have you guys started working on any new material yet for the next thing, or are you busy that you're not? Oh, okay. What do you?
Yeah, we finished the DLC Out of the Shadows 2.0, right. And we already have one demo. We're planning on doing something a little self-released.
Okay.
Between the time from the deluxe of album 8 to when we go back in the studio to do album 9, we want to do a self-release thing right there in the middle. And it's just, you know, content. If we have the opportunity to make music, why not? Let's get in there. Let's make it. Let's release it. Right. And then the off time I have from that I'm not touring, I got new music coming out with Dead Rabbits.
Okay.
Which is like my heavier side group that I do with Eric, our bass player from Escape. So a lot of content this year.
Very cool.
Busy, busy, busy.
Boy, I'd imagine with all that, Spotify will pay you almost $1, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm really working on getting it up to $1.10. That's my goal.
Right on, man. Well, dude, obviously lots of great stuff going on for Escape the Fate. Out of the Shadows 2.0. When is that out? The 19th of May, is that right? I think.
I've heard April 15th.
Or maybe it's April
19th.
You know what? I'll put it in the show notes at the bottom if anybody wants to buy it. It'll
right
be down
now
there.
Right now I'm at like the week and a half where things are supposed to be getting locked in and sent to me.
Right.
So that we can announce. So I'm like, all right, just let me know, I guess.
Right. Well, I'll find it and I'll put it in the notes so that people can see when it's out. Buy it, people.
Yeah.
Don't just stream it. I say that on every single interview. Buy it. Buy the merch. Buy the product. Buy a shirt. Or else these guys have to go and get regular jobs, which nobody wants that to happen. So I'll tell you what, man, let's wrap this one up. But one more time, Escape the Fate, Out of the Shadows 2.0. Emo Orchestra is going to be out there. Check the website that's scrolling on the bottom, escapethefate.com, to get your dates for that. And Craig, Thanks for joining me here on Chris Aiken Presents.
Hey, thank you for having me, Chris.
You see all the commercials for online gambling, but you're afraid to try them because you just don't want to lose, right? Well, play with the house's money. Right now, sign up with FanDuel at fanduel.cnspn.com and get $15 of free bets just for using our link. Sign up today at fanduel.cnspn.com and get $15 worth of bets on FanDuel. Be responsible and play today. FanDuel.